地传讲到上帝形象的第八讲。
Last week we had the eighth session on the image of God.
就是从上帝的无所不能看见我们潜在能要怎么样发挥。
From the basis of God being the Almighty, we see how we should use our potential.
今天我们要第九次讲上帝的形象。
And today we go into the ninth session.
上帝是无所不在的上帝。
God is a God who is omnipresent.
上帝是无所不能的上帝。
God is a God that is omnipotent.
上帝也是无所不知的上帝。
God is also omniscient.
那我们现在要从这一方面来思想，人有上帝的形象里面隐藏着怎样的奥秘。
And from this angle, we want to see what kind of mystery are there in us.
我们来看几处的圣经。
Let's look at
我们先看诗篇139篇。
Psalms 139.
翻到了，我们一同开声来读。诗篇第139篇
Psalms 139，
我们就从第一节开始来读。
From verse 1，
我们读三节的圣经。
With three verses，
诗篇139篇，我们从第一节，我们一直读到第三节，第四节到第六节我自己读，我们一同来读。一、二、三，耶和华，你已经建造我，认识我，我坐下，我起来，你都晓得。你从远处知道我的意念，我行路，我躺卧，你都细察，你也深知我一切所行的。耶和华，我的舌头上的话，你没有一句不知道的。你在我前后环绕我，按手在我身上，这样的姿色奇妙，是我不能测的，至高是我不能及的。我们再看第二书的圣经，在约翰福音第二章最后一段的圣经。
John chapter 2, the last passage.
我们一同打开约翰福音第二章，我们要读最后一段的圣经。
Gospel of John chapter 2, the last passage.
第23节一直到25节。
From 23 to 25.
我们翻到了，一同开声来读。一、二、三，当耶稣在耶路撒冷过逾越节的时候，有许多人看见他所行的神迹，就信了他的名。耶稣却不将自己交托他们，因为他知道万人也用不着谁见证人怎样，因为他知道人心里所存的。第三处圣经我们看哥林多前书第二章。
First Corinthians chapter 2.
哥林多前书第二章，新约第七本书，哥林多前书第二章，我们一同来读所第十节开始。
From verse 4,
只有上帝借着圣灵向我们显明了，因为圣灵参透万事，就是上帝深奥的事也参透了。你们一同来读，我们大家从这个第九节一直读到第十一节，一同来读。一、二、三，就如经上所记，上帝为爱他的人所预备的，是眼睛未曾看见，耳朵未曾听见，人心里也未曾想到的，只有上帝借着圣灵向我们显明了。因为圣灵参透万事，就是上帝深奥的事也参透了。除了在人里头的灵，谁知道人的事？像这样，除了上帝的灵，也没有人知道上帝的事。我们读经就到这个地方。我们再次低头祷告。我们请杨长老带领我们祷告。
天父恩主，主你的话语我们已经打开了，求主你帮助我们，好叫我们谦卑可受教。我们把以下的时间恭敬交托在你的手上，求主帮助我们打开我们的心，好让我们的心好像好土一般，让你道的种子来到我们的心里面往下扎根，让我们往上结果，能够荣耀你的名。奉主耶稣基督得胜的名求，阿们，
阿们。我们今天所读的三段圣经里面
The three passages that we've read
告诉我们圣父、圣子、圣灵的知识。
Tell us about the wisdom of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
圣父是无所不知的上帝。
God the Father is omniscient.
圣子是无所不知的上帝。
So is God the Son. He knows everything.
圣灵也是无所不知的上帝。
And the Holy Spirit knows all things.
我们一切的言语、我们的行为、我们的谈话、我们的起来、我们的思想、我们未度的年日，父都知道了。
Everything about us, whether it's our language, our actions, the time that is to come, all our Lord has already known.
圣经告诉我们，基督知道万人的心，不必用人来做见证，因为他知道人心里所存的是什么。
The Bible tells us that Jesus already knows what is in our heart, so he does not need testimonies from us.
在第三段的圣经告诉我们
，And the third passage says,
圣灵参透万事。连上帝最深奥的事情，他也知道了。
The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
所以这样，除了上帝的灵，谁知道上帝的事情
？And therefore, other than the Spirit of God, who would know the things of God?
除了人的灵，谁知道人的事情
？Other than the Spirit of man, who would know the thoughts of man?
上帝的灵不但知道人的事，连上帝一切的奥秘。他都知道了。
The Spirit of God knows not only the thoughts of man, but all mysteries of God.
所以这种上帝无限知识的启示。
And so this system where God has a limitless knowledge.
是没有任何的宗教哲学曾经提过的。
It's not something that any other faith or philosophy has mentioned.
这样的一位上帝才是真正的上帝。
And this is why this is the true God.
神的知识不但包罗万象。
The knowledge of God not only is limitless.
神的知识进了人心灵深处所思想所计划的一切。
The knowledge of God also includes the things of thoughts of men and our plans.
这样的一位上帝
，A God like this，
就按照他自己的形象样式创造了人
，has made man in his own image。
所以人在知识事情上也有像上帝的潜在能力。
And therefore, in the matter of knowledge, we have the potential to be like God.
这就是人类堆积了几千年的思考，可以产生伟大的百科全书的原因。
This is the reason why we can have encyclopedic knowledge after thousands of years.
在知识的广泛范围里面
，in the wide arena of knowledge，
我们的本质是远远超过任何的动物的。
Our potential far exceeds that of any other animal.
所有的动物所知道的，就是它生命四周的事物，以及它基本存在的本能的事情而已。
All animals only know things relating to its environment and its instinct.
从你在这些的范围里面。
But when they are in this arena,
你看见你自己的何等尊贵，神的创造是何等奇妙，我们的潜在能是何等的伟大。
You will see how glorious and honorable is the creation of God and how much potential we have been given.
那么人就因为这个可能，人就想知道许多的事情。
And because of this potential, we want to know a lot of things.
神知道他所造的一切。
God knows all the things He has created.
人按照上帝的形象样式造的，人也盼望知道神为人所知道的一切。
And because man is created in the image of God, we also want to know all things.
神创造的人，神知道人心所存的是什么。
God has created man, and He knew what is in our hearts.
所以人也可能盼望知道我们里面自己有什么。
And so we too want to know what is inside of us.
人不但知道自己的范围。
Not only do we want to know about ourselves,
人更想明白神自己是怎样的一位。
We want to know what God is all about.
所以这样就变成知识的三大范畴。
So we see three great areas in knowledge.
一个范畴就是神所造的世界的范畴。
The first one is in the created world.
第二个范畴就是按照神的形象被造的人的生命的范畴。
The second one is the life of man made in the image of God.
第三就是神创造万有，神本身成为我们知识的一个对象。
And third one is the creator of all things, God himself.
那这三个大的范围里面可能隐藏的高深莫测的范围的程度是没有办法去估计的。
And within these three areas are infinite, profound areas.
所以这样就把神的无限跟人的有限写明出来。
In this area, we see how God is infinite and man is finite.
上帝是无限的上帝。
God is an infinite God.
所以神的知识就是无限的知识。
Therefore, His knowledge is infinite.
人虽然是上帝按照自己形象样式而被造的。
Although we have been made in God's own image and likeness,
人有被神所造的无限的可能性。
We have this potential to be infinite.
来向上帝。
To be like God.
但我们的无限跟神的无限是不一样的。
But our infinite is not the same as that of God.
神的无限是绝对无限的无限。
And God's infinity is the absolute infinity.
我们的无限是被造在有限中间的无限。
But our infinite is the finiteness that is built, that infiniteness that is built within a finite world.
我们在我们追求知识的过程中间
，in the progression of seeking after knowledge,
我们的这个无限的向往跟有限的能力就产生了冲突。
There will be a conflict because we want to go for infinite knowledge, but we are limited.
这就是中国人所讲的“学也有涯，而生也有涯”的一个矛盾。
And so there is an irony, as the Chinese said, you want to learn a lot of things, but you are limited.
那么人所要知道的范围里面
，in the knowledge scope that we want to achieve，
从被造的形式来看，最广的就是身外一切的东西。
From the created world, the things that are external to us would be our target.
我们盼望我们的脚踏上最高的山。
What we want to do is to climb the highest mountain.
我们盼望我们的身体进入最深的海。
We hope to dive into the deepest ocean.
我们盼望我们牵涉到最远的原野跟森林。
We want to go to the farthest wilderness.
我们盼望可以进到山里面去探究里面的一切的东西。
And we hope to explore the mountains.
所以这些我们知识所要盼望的对象。
All these targets of our search.
从体积来看。同人的身体的存在是完全不成正比的。
Physically, it is way out of proportion to our physical existence.
大到一个几乎无边无际的天地，我们都想去探知，都想去明白。
We are so ambitious that we want to go to the ends of the world.
从古代的神话到现在的灯夜，就把这种雄心大志。写明出来了。
From ancient mythology till the day we step onto the moon, it shows our ambition.
像在苏格拉底以前
，before Socrates，
我们看见人类应用这种求知功能对宇宙的探讨，就变成一个事实。
We see humanity going after the cosmos in its understanding.
苏格拉底以前所有最伟大的哲学家。也就是自然科学家。
Before Socrates, all the greatest scientists are natural scientists.
所以他们一边是 philosopher， 一边也就是 natural scientist。
Although they are philosophers, they are also natural scientists.
但是他们之所以被称为哲学家，他们的智慧是从方法论，从这个比较抽象的这个原理去探讨的。
They try to understand the world with more abstract knowledge.
所以呢，他们不单是单单把知识的这个活生生的很现实的资料摆出来而已。
Not only do they express knowledge in a very physical manner,
他们跟着探究是透过哪一种逻辑的方式去达到这些探讨的果效的。
They want to find out what sort of logical methods they can use to achieve the same result.
这一方面的智慧眼里来说，他们被称为是哲学家。
And so from this angle, they are like philosophers.
现在你们看见，无论你是研究哪一种科学
，Today, no matter what sort of science you study,
你最后得的学位都是同样叫做 PhD.
In the end, you will get a PhD.
为什么研究科学的得到的是 Doctor of Philosophy， 不是 Doctor of Science 呢
？Why do you not receive Doctor of Science instead of Doctor of Philosophy？
原来古希腊的哲学家跟自然探讨关系是不能分开的传统传下来的。
And this is part of tradition from ancient Greek time.
那么，这样我们看见在古代的希腊中间
，So in ancient Greece，
许多人就专专探讨自然。
Many people just study nature.
这就是他们知识功能、知识的一念所要追求的方向。
This is the direction that they will towards.
那你这个够不够呢
？Is this enough？
当然，这个从苏格拉底来看，是一个非常肤浅的东西。
Socrates thought of this as very shallow.
所以肤浅到一个地步。
So shallow.
人因为绝对有越多这一方面的知识，就变成越离开智慧遥远的一个货物。
That he believed that the more knowledge we have in this area, we are farther away from wisdom.
这句话什么意思呢
？What does this mean？
越多知识，越多知识，就越少智慧，越少智慧。
The more knowledge you achieve, the less wisdom you have.
就像你家里东西一大堆，你房子里面的氧气就减少一样。
It's like if you have lots of things in your house, there will be less oxygen.
所以很多有钱人什么都有，就少一点氧气。
So many rich people have lots of things, but not enough oxygen.
因为当你在有限的空间里面填满一大堆物质的时候，你就无形之中把空气赶走了。
Because in a finite space, if you occupy with lots of things, air must disappear.
这样，知识跟智慧就变成一个相对的，可能是个敌对的东西。
And therefore, knowledge can be opposing to wisdom.
我相信我们都有讲过这样的话，有这样的感觉：这个人怎么读这么多书，怎么这么笨呢
？Sometimes we look at someone and say, "Well, he is so learned, but he's so stupid."
为什么越读越笨呢
？It's like the more he studies, the sillier he is.
读了这么高年，这样基本的东西都不懂呢
？With such a high knowledge, he doesn't know simple facts.
就是这个意思。
This is what it means.
所以苏格拉底看见一些对知识的探讨。缺乏另外一种的知识的话，这些人就不是个真正的智慧人。
Socrates see lots of people studying acquiring knowledge without wisdom.
他就发现一个方向要调转过来，才能解决这个问题。
And he found a solution where you had to turn around.
什么叫做方向调转过来呢
？How would you turn around the methodology?
因为人所求知的东西都是人以外的东西。
Because he discovered that people seek after things external to themselves.
所以苏格拉底说你要转过来，要认识你自己里面的东西。
And Socrates said, then you have to turn around to learn about yourself.
如果你什么都要知道，却不知道你自己有什么益处呢
？What is the point of knowing all kinds of things except yourself?
这也就是苏格拉底的创新跟他的方法论的革命。
And this is where Socrates was original and revolutionary.
这个就是苏格拉底价值的开始，也是历史上尊重他的原因。
The beginning of the value of Socrates and why people honor him.
所以苏格拉底就提到了人生哲学的知识。
And Socrates proposed a philosophy of human life.
苏格拉底就提到了伦理智慧的知识。
And the wisdom relating to ethics.
所以这些就跟自然科学变成两个很不同相对比的范围。
It becomes an area that is different from natural science.
反正研究自然科学的人，他们都不注重伦理的问题。
All who study about natural science will not place emphasis on ethics.
反正越来越多知道身外之物的多事情，都常常没有注意到自己里面应当有的智慧。
And those who study external to the human body would ignore internal wisdom.
所以人的价值在哪里？
What is the value of man then?
人的伦理标准是什么
？What is the ethical standards of man?
人自己应当有怎样的智慧
？What sort of wisdom should we have?
人死了以后到哪里去
？Where will we go after we die?
这些东西都是自然科学没有办法告诉我们的事情。
All these things are not areas of natural science.
所以苏格拉底提到了 Nothi Theauton。
And so Socrates proposed not the theauton.
Say outon.
Say outon.
就是你 know yourself to be the starting point of your knowledge.
就是你要先知道自己作为智慧的开端。
一个人如果不知道自己，
if you do not know yourself,
他在自己之外所有的一切的知识都是其次的。
All knowledge beyond himself would be secondary.
真正的知识从自己知道自己而开始。
And true knowledge comes when we know of ourselves.
自己对自己的知道，从承认自己什么都不知道开始的。
And knowing yourself starts by admitting that you do not know anything about yourself.
当你知道你什么都不知道的时候
，So when you know that you do not know anything，
也就是你开始真正的知道。
It is on the beginning that you of you truly knowing yourself.
你真正知道你什么都不知道的时候
，When you truly know that you do not know anything，
你就用智慧来建立你的知识。
You will try to establish your knowledge with wisdom.
你根本不能用你的知识来建立你的智慧。
You cannot establish wisdom with knowledge.
你只能用智慧来建立你的知识。
You can only establish knowledge with wisdom.
用智慧来引导你的知识。
Use wisdom to guide your knowledge.
用智慧去寻求你的知识。
To use wisdom to find your knowledge.
这就是真正知识的开始了。
This is the beginning of true wisdom.
所以我们这样就看见自然科学永远是不够的。
So we see natural science will forever be inadequate.
自然科学可以给我们生命的方便，不能给我们生活的意义。
It can give us conveniences in life, but not meaning of life.
这样这一两百年来
，For the past two centuries,
科学的进步
，scientific advances,
工业的发达
，industrial advances,
许多机械的发明
，many invention of mechanical
things, 已经把人类从古代的社会带进了现今社会的新生活的里面了。
Has brought mankind a new lifestyle from an ancient lifestyle to the modern lifestyle.
我们今天一天里面用汽车跑过的地方，是我们的祖宗要走两个月才跑完的地区。
A And today, for one day, the amount of distance we travel, our ancestor will need 2 months.
我们今天用一天的时间坐飞机所到的地方，是从前要坐船2个半月才能到的地方。
And today, when we travel a day by air, people would have to travel by ship 2 months.
我们今天用电脑里面所能记录下来的事情，一个钟头里面的东西，是从前要用手抄几年才会抄完的东西。
What we record in the computer in an hour would need several years of hand copying.
所以这些的机械
，all these mechanical things，
这些的科技
，all these technology，
这些科学的知识
，all these scientific knowledge，
使我们的生活产生了很大很大的方便。
Has brought about great conveniences for our lifestyle.
这些东西没有一点点增加我们对生命意义的了解。
But it will not increase a little bit even the understanding of the meaning of life.
更不一定对我们的伦理责任有一点的提升。
And it may not elevate a little bit of our ethical standards.
这种知识是不是真正神要我们明白的知识呢？
Are these then the knowledge that God really wants us to understand?
这不是关于这个范围的问题而已。
It is not just a question of area.
更是关于方向的问题了。
It is a question relating to direction.
所以我们提到人的形象样式的时候，
When we talk about the image and likeness of God,
其实已经深入探讨了整个人类的命运的问题，而不是单个人的知识的问题。
We are actually looking into the destiny of mankind, let alone that of ourselves.
上帝是真理的源头。
God is the source of truth.
上帝是万物的创造者。
God is the creator of all things.
当他创造万物的时候，
When he created all things,
他一切的设计成了我们追求的对象。
His design becomes the goal for us.
智慧设计了这一切。
With his wisdom, he has designed all things.
就成了我们的知识盼望明白的事物。
It becomes things that our knowledge wants to understand.
所以神的本体就是智慧的本体。
God in himself is the source of wisdom.
神的本身是宇宙创造者。
He is the creator of the universe.
知识是最完美的知识。
His knowledge must be the most perfect.
昨天晚上11点我还在工地里面。
Yesterday at 11 at night I was still at the construction site.
看他们正在建筑。
I was looking at them building the place.
一车接连一车的这个钢筋水泥的原料送来了。
And truck after truck, the construction material came.
我说为什么要晚上才送来呢？
I asked them, why do you send this in the evening?
这个东西在4个钟头里面一定要放进去。
They say we have to install all these things in 4 hours.
那么在4个钟头里面它就会硬下来了。
All this cement will form in 4 hours.
所以一定要晚上才晚上才送过来。
So we have to do this at night.
那我当然每天就吸收更多的知识了。
Every day I'm learning new things.
那如果是白天怎么样呢？
I ask what will happen in the morning.
白天很热。
This morning is hot.
塞车很厉害。
With traffic jam.
所以一下子一塞车一两个钟头里面就开始硬下来了。
With traffic jam, the cement will then harden.
你不能倒出来的时候整车就要丢掉了。
If you cannot pour the cement out, you have to get rid of the whole thing.
加拿大白天塞车的情形是世界最可怕的现象之一。
In Jakarta, the traffic jam is one of the most horrifying scenes in the world.
早晚上9点的时候才离开那个水泥工厂，开到工地来。
So the truck will leave the factory and cement factory at 9 in the evening.
那么到10点10点半就开始倒进去了。
At about 10:30, they will start to pour the cement.
第二天早上就已经差不多干了。
By the second morning, it will almost harden.
分秒必争。
And it will go for every second.
那我就看这个柱子在这里，那个柱子呢，我就跟他们讨论了。
I look at the pillars and I start to discuss with them.
有一个承包商的工程师。
And one of the subcontractor engineer.
几次看我在视察工地的时候。
When he observed that I've been there a few times.
他就对别人说。
He said to the other people,
怎么一个牧师会懂这么多东西呢？
Why would this pastor know so many things?
怎么他连这里距离多少他都会背呢？
How can he memorize the distance between the pillars?
他不知道是我设计的。
He didn't know I was the architect.
因为我设计的，我当然每一寸每一分我都要记得清清楚楚的。
Because I designed the thing, I will know all the dimensions.
他不过是执行我们所计划的事情而已。
He's just an engineer to execute our plans.
而当他好好速算的时候，
When he did his calculation,
正在速算设计的人原先所定的那个计划。
What he's doing is to think about the plans of the designer.
人研究大自然也是如此。
This is the way when we study nature.
当我们研究大自然有一些知识的成就的时候，我们说 I discovered the truth, 所以就有 discovery channel 跑出来了。
And when we discover truth in the nature, it is because we studied and we found it.
如果你说怎么上帝也管这样的事呢？
You may ask, why would God be bothered by this?
上帝也知道这个事情呢？
Why would God know about this?
你要知道，你 only discover what had been planned by God.
你所发现的原本是上帝所计划的。
我们不过去找出上帝计划的奥秘。
What we have done is simply discover things that He has already planned.
我们不过去发现上帝智慧的设计。
What we have done is to discover the wisdom of His design.
所以只有神才是真正知识的源头。
Therefore, only God is the true source of wisdom.
上帝是无所不知的上帝。
And God is the God that knows all things.
这不但是他之所以成为上帝的原则。
This is one of the key reasons why He is God.
更是成为我们有上帝形象的原像。
And certainly the reason why we are made in His image.
因为我们是按照他的形象样式造的。
Because we all have been made in His image and likeness.
上帝的无所不知。
So the fact that God knows all things.
就成为我们什么都要知的一个基础。
Becomes the foundation why we want to know all things.
但我们什么都要知，是不是等于我们什么都能知呢？
Does that mean that we can know all things?
这是两件不同的事情。
These are two separate issues.
我们什么都想知是一个意念。
We want to know all things.
我们不是什么都能知是一个限制。
But we are limited because we cannot know all things.
所以我在华盛顿贵政学院上课的时候。
So when I was lecturing at the Reform Institute in Washington.
特别提到人无论多么聪明，多么无限。都有三个本性是我们不能逃脱的。
I especially place emphasis that no matter how intelligent we are, there are three constraints.
第一个本性的限制就是我们是受造的。
The first one is that we are created beings.
第二个是我们是有限的。
The second one is we are finite.
第三是我们是受玷污过了的。
The third one is that we have been stained and fallen.
The first we are created. Second we are limited.The third, we are polluted. 所以这个三个 tet 就是人的本性。
And that is what we are. Created, limited, and polluted.
我们不过是受造之物。
We are but created beings.
我们不过是有限之物。
We are but limited beings.
我们不过是受过玷污之物。
We are but stained beings.
所以当人不承认这三件事的时候，
When we deny all these things,
他就认为他是上帝。
We would think of ourselves as God.
他就不承认形象跟本相之间本质的差异。
He would deny that there is a difference between the image and the source.
这就是人类悲剧的开端。
This is the beginning of the human tragedy.
当人真正知道的这三个本性的时候，
But when we truly recognize these three attributes,
我们可以一方面求知，一方面认知自己的不够知。
On the one hand, we can seek after knowledge. On the other hand, can acknowledge that we are limited.
一方面有对自然科学得到的成就，另外一方面就有把这些成就归荣耀给上帝的动机。
And on the one hand, we can have scientific achievement. On the other hand, give glory to God for this achievement.
因为我们不是创造者。
Because we are not the creator.
我们是被造者。
We are the created beings.
我们是被造而有创造功能，像创造我们的上帝的本性的形象的这个潜在能。
We have created creatures that have the creativity that the creator has given to us.
We have the potential of the creativity as being created of the image and the likeness of the true creator.哇，这个想来会吐分的，因为这样呢，我们就比所有的万物不一样的。
So we are different from all created beings.
但是这一点不能把我们跳到一个无限的可能性里面。
But just this point alone would not enable us to go into the infinite.
只有靠近无限的可能性。
We may get close to it.
因为第二点就随之而来了。
Because the second point comes,
我们是有限的。
And that is, we are limited.
只有上帝是绝对无限的。
Only God is absolutely infinite.
我们在有限中间存着无限的想象。
Although we are in a limited world, we have unlimited imagination.
我们在无限的追求中间受有限的捆绑。
Although we seek after the unlimited, we are limited by constraint.
所以我们的知识无论如何不是可以与神相比的。
No matter how knowledgeable we are, we cannot compare ourselves with God.
这是第二个本性。
This is the second attribute.
第三个本性，因为我们是受过玷污的。
The third attribute is that we are polluted.
这也就是承认原罪的存在。
We acknowledge the existence of the original sin.
无论如何怎样去知，我们的知一定有一些的这个主观跟一些瑕疵的事情来限制我们。
No matter how much we know, there is a subjective element in there.
有一次我看见有一些的杯具很漂亮，是蓝色的，好像蓝宝石一样的漂亮。
I once saw some cups that are blue and almost like blue jewelry.
所以我就买一套回家去。
So I bought a set home.
我感到这样喝的比较冰凉一点。
I thought it's more cool to drink from such cups.
比较享受一点。
More enjoyable.
特别是热天热得不得了的，拿一个蓝色的像蓝宝石的杯来喝水，多么舒服啊！
Especially when the weather is warm, drinking from a blue cup must be great.
好不好啊？
Is this good?
你可以想象一定很好的。
You can imagine it to be great.
结果我发现不大好了。
But in the end, not so.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为我不知道这蓝色的杯里面的水到底摆不摆。
Because I cannot tell whether the water is clean or not.
到底是不是清的？
Whether it is clear.
所以有时候怀疑的时候，就要把这个蓝色杯里面的水倒到白色的盘里面看看清洁，再倒回去。
So sometimes I got to pour out into a white cup to observe it before I pour it back again.
这个叫做 polluted already.
So it's already polluted.
你没有办法很透彻的、很中立的看见它真正的颜色是怎么样的颜色。
It is impossible with a neutral mind to see the true color.
今天我们的知识论的问题也在这里。
And this is the problem with our knowledge.
当你是从起初受共产主义的教育的人。
If you are a person that has been influenced by communism,
你就透过共产主义来知道一些的东西。
You will learn some things through communism.
如果你是受一个帝国主义的观念建立起来的知识论，
But if your knowledge is built on imperialism,
你就用这个帝国主义的色彩来看这个世界。
You will look at the world in imperialistic manner.
如果你受过是一个这个存在主义的教育的观念建立起来，
But you have been educated with existentialism.
你就用存在主义来看一切。
You will look at all things in an existentialist way.
如果你受过的是宗教的思想来建立的，
If you have been influenced by religious thinking,
你就用宗教观念来看一些东西。
You will look at all things through a religious lens.
那么你说照样的，你用归正来建立你的知识论，你就用归正的眼光来看一切。
So you build your knowledge on reform theology, so you look at all things like a reform faith.
归正真正的意义是什么呢？
What is the true meaning of Reformed theology?
要你回到真理的本体那里。
It tells us that we are to return back to the truth.
所以你就不能把归正跟所有那些有玷污性的东西把它相提并论。
In this manner, do not equate Reformed theology with all theology that is stained.
归正本身的大道的目的。
The goal of a Reformed theology
就是不是建立一个系统
is not to build a system
来与其他的系统相抗衡
to fight with other system of thought
相反的就是要每一个系统脱离罪的玷污回到圣经里面最先的计划里面去
What he wants to do is for all systems to get rid from the pollution of sin to go back to the Bible
这样我们怎样才能建立这个中立性的知识论呢
How then can we have a neutral knowledge?
这就是理性的圣化的问题了。
This is related to the sanctification of your reason. 我们对你们
已经讲过了差不多一年的时间，关于感情圣化的题目。
We have spent about a year talking about the sanctification of
emotions. 其实我们还要讲的还有许多许多的层次。
There are still many areas to cover.
包括理性的圣化。
Especially on the sanctification of reason.
包括意志的圣化。
The sanctification of the will.
包括这个。我们行为的圣化
the sanctification of our lifestyle
许多许多圣洁应当限制的范围
all these are areas where holiness ought to be
我们只求上帝的灵引导我们
we ask that the spirit of God guide us
给我们能够照着上帝眼前创造万有所有的那个清洁的那个中立的观念来看一切
that we can look at all things based on the pure and neutral character that God has created and designed
这也是归正基督徒很重要的文化使命之一
This is one of the important cultural mandates of Reformed Christians
这将透过已经被救赎的人生观去看上帝创造的万物
How do we see all things through the safe character of our lives
这样我们在自然科学里面所发现的真理所得着的知识
So all the knowledge that we will find in natural science
就不会落在有罪的人错误的动机的应用中间成为他们生财之道
Would not become tools where you become prosperous because of your stained sin
是我最后这句话也就是现在科学最大的危机了
My last sentence is where the crisis of modern science is at.
当人研究干细胞。
When people study about stem cell,
人研究基因工程。
When they study about DNA,
破解了许多基因的密码，看见人生病的原因跟要治愈的方法的可能性的时候。
When they look at things, the cures that can come from genetic engineering,
这些应当可以造益全人类的才对。
These ought to be things that is of benefit to all mankind.
这些东西不久就落在财团的手中，所以他们生财之道。真正有那么多钱买这种药来治病的人是少得不得了，这样全人类还照应在贫苦的中间受所有的疾病所这个折磨。
But very quickly, financial groups will take over such knowledge and people will still remain poor and sick.
这样旧知识进到一个中立性，成为真正永生，成为真正一人的这个工具，我们这条路还是很长的。
We still have a long way to go to find out how we can rescue knowledge so that it can glorify God and be beneficial to mankind.
因为人是按照上帝的形象样式造的。
Because we have been made in God's image and likeness.
所以上帝的无所不知。
God is all knowing.
就成为我们对知识追求的一个动力。
It becomes the motivation that we want to know more.
上帝的无所不知。
The fact that God is all knowing,
就成了人可能可以知道许多事情一个真正的基础。
Becomes the true foundation for us to know all things.
那我们要问的问题就来了。
And then the question will arise.
我们所知道的真正的价值是谁定的呢？
Who will set the true value of our knowledge?
我们应当追求的方向是谁为我们定的呢？
And who will give us the direction to our seek?
很多人说要知道的不过是身外之物，而根本不想知道身内的自己。
Many people want to study things that are outside of himself but not within himself.
所以当科学的成就比文化的成就更大的时候，人类是没有盼望的。
Humanity will have no hope when there's greater scientific achievement over cultural achievement.
正像一个做母亲的人把孩子们个个养成高头大马而不给他受教育是很可怜的事情。
It's like a mother who has raised the children well without any education.
所以如果她的孩子身体都发达，都变成非常健壮的人，
If this mother's children are all physically strong and big,
对他们的智慧，对他们的道德，对他们的伦理，对他们的信仰没有建立的话，
But if she has not taught them about education, ethics and religion,
那这是衣冠禽兽，像人的动物而已。
And these children of hers would just be like animals with clothing.
只有自然科学而没有被真理跟被伦理道德所控制的知识就变成人类的祸患了。
A knowledge that is only the fruit of natural science without influence from ethics will become a threat to humanity.
所以我们从这个角度回到圣经里面基督徒应当有的知识论是怎样建立起来的。
And from this angle, we want to go back to the Bible and find out what sort of knowledge should Christians have.
诗人在一篇一百三十九篇里面讲一句话语。
The psalmist says in the 139th psalm.
倘卧我起来，你都知道。
Whether I lie down or I awake, you already know.
我的思想，我的意念，你都鉴察。
My thoughts and my will are all within you.
在我还没有行出我的行为以前，你都有了知识。
Before I do anything, you already know.
这表示上帝无所不知，已经包括了我要做的，我所思想的，我所计划的，我内心所存的一切的事情。
It means that God, being all-knowing, already knew what is in my heart, my plans and things that I will.
但是在第四节到第六节的口气转换过来了。
But from verse 4 to verse 6, the attitude seemed to change.
这样的知识奇妙是我不能测度的。
He says that such knowledge is too wonderful for me.
这样的奥秘是我不能知道的。
Too lofty for me to attain.
所以我对上帝的无所不知不是无所不知的。
And so it is not that I have an all-knowing ability to know about God's all-knowingness.
神对我所知的一切是我知道他知，但我不知道他为什么能这么知，他对我的知有多深的意义，还有以后与我的关系，这审判到底是怎么样。
Although I know that God is all knowing that he knows me, I do not know to what depth would he know about me.
这样神对我的无所不知 以及我对神无所不知的有所不知，就变成一个相对的知识了。
And there will be a relative knowledge between God knowing me and my ignorance of God.
其实这些话你越想，你越感到受吸引，很深很深的意义在里面。
And actually, all these have profound meanings.
所以呢，保罗就提到了知识跟知识的可能性之间的相对。
And so the Apostle Paul gives us a relative position between knowledge and the possibility of knowing.
他讲过的话是孔子没有讲过的。
The things that he said are not things from Confucius.
他讲过的话连苏格拉底也没有讲过的。
Even Socrates would not thought of this.
这保罗所讲的话就是圣经里面要我们明白的真正的知识论的基础了。
What the Apostle Paul wrote is what the Bible wants us to base our knowledge on.
保罗说一个人如果以为他知道什么 Paul, 按照他所应该知道的他还是不知道。
Paul says that if a person thinks that he already knows something based on what he should know, he has not known it yet.
一个人到底应当知道的是